Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner and Remy Motti. Labor Day weekend is upon us. And you know what that means. The kids are headed back to school. Remy's going to have some free time.
Yes.
He's going to be able to get to the gym. But football, for those like Kyle and I, football is here.
It's back.
Football is here. We got plenty of time, though, for football this fall. We have a baseball guest today. But more importantly, though, pumpkin spice season
has officially started.
Here we go, guys.
Hallelujah.
Like, seriously, why do I got to wait 7 months? Why can't pumpkin spice be a flavor year round?
I agree. I say that all the time.
Right?
Like, I would buy it all around.
What is wrong
dude,
with
we
got to
be
it's
we
got to
be the
thing.
We got to be the only men who care about pumpkin spice. People are going to call us basic. People are going to say trade in your man.
Oh, yeah, we're bougie.
We are. Yeah, you know what? I like my pumpkin spice and now that I'm on a no carb, no sugar diet, I haven't had any, but you're going to make some for me with the nutmeg
like
and the cinnamon?
Yeah, it's nutmeg and cinnamon. It's not that big of a deal.
We have it
right there. So but you just have to go and get it.
As long as you can make it for me, put it in my iced coffee, I'm happy. We do have a baseball guest again this week, Philadelphia Phillies rookie outfielder Adam Haseley. He is a very impressive young kid. He's got star potential on the field. Charlie Manuel, the new Phillies hitting coach, told me a week or so, about maybe 10 days before he was hired as the hitting coach, we were having this conversation about hitting and baseball and what he sees. And he said, I love this kid, Adam Haseley's swing. Now he gets to work with him day in and day out. So
Charlie knows a little something about hitting. Yeah,
He's worked with some Hall of Famers.
Absolutely.
And I think that can only bode well for Adam Haseley's future. He's also a strong man of character, a Christ follower. Adam is such a strong believer that back in school, his nickname was the Rev.
That's pretty cool.
Which is awesome. On his social media, the first thing it says about him is saved by grace. So this week we're going to talk about what's in your bio. What is most important to you that you want people to know about you? And I'm not just talking about the words on a page because being a Christian is more than just professing to be one. It's living like one. Mm-hmm. People should know we're Christ followers by the way we live our lives. Mm-hmm. People should know we're Christ followers by the way we love others, by the way we respect others, by the way we forgive and show mercy. Our faith in Christ should be what defines us, not what we put in our bio. But is it our job title that's more important to us? Is it our fame, fortune, and glory and our status? Is that what's most important to us? Or is it being a Christ follower? Is it being saved by grace? If you're a Christian, I say this all the time, if you're a Christian but nobody knows it except the people who see you in that Sunday service attending church, are you really glorifying the Lord? If you're a Christian, if you're a true believer, but nobody knows it. Yeah. Your family doesn't realize it. They don't understand it. Your friends don't know. Your coworkers don't know it. How are you increasing the kingdom? Being a Christian should not be a secret. Mm-hmm. And I know we live in this world where everyone is so offended so easily by everything. And in some circles, God forbid, you profess your faith and you profess to be a Christian. But I firmly believe, and this is how I live my life, we need to stand tall as Christians.
Yeah.
We need to shout it from the rooftops and the mountaintops because, you know what? We have the answer.
Absolutely.
We have the answer. Jesus is the answer. I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's done in your life. Yep. I know what he's done in your life. I have seen the work that Jesus has done in so many people's lives, and I am not shy about shouting it from the rooftops. It is no secret. I'm a Christian. I love that Adam Haseley professes to be one. Being a Christian should not be a secret. It should not be a secret.
Yeah, I love it. I love, you're firing me up, right? This is fantastic. I think a little bit of this goes back to, you know, truly our generation believes that acceptance is the epitome of humanity. Mm. Like, our greatest goal in humanity is to be accepted by the most people that we can. And it's really a trap because, you know, it really draws us towards a life that promotes, kind of happiness over wholeness. And we'll exchange a lot of things for what true health looks like, in this pursuit of building a persona that people find acceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had to come to the realization that, you know, there for as many people as you think are going to be on your side, there's that many people who are going to dislike what you have to say anyway. So, you know, when in our pursuit of trying to please everyone, we have to realize that we don't please anyone at the end of it. And so, you know, that really is the battle. And Rob, I love what you were talking about. You know, there's this tension that we live in constantly as people of faith where we can't be all talk and no action. And we can't be all action and no talk, right? Yeah. And this is the wrestling point that James in the book of James really talks about, where he's talking about, you know, faith without works is dead, right? But if you have faith with no works, that's dead. But if you have works without faith, no one knows why, right? There's a lot of good people in the world, or you know, who do good things in the world, who may not be Christians. So I think that's the struggle, the tension that we live in is, and the tension that really we should be living in, is this tension I think that John the Baptist comes to. And it's probably the one of the most powerful statements that epitomizes true humanity where we are. When Jesus comes on the scene after John is this real rock star. Like, I mean, John the Baptist was a rock star of his time in this kind of, everybody's going to him, he's shaking up the country. You know, he is on the front page of everyone's kind of social media feed at that time. It would be John the Baptist, right? And Jesus shows up and John says this, "I must decrease so that he may increase." That is the tension that we live in all the time as people of faith. How in the world do I decrease while still being true and authentic and allow Jesus to increase in what people see?
I love that. But, you know, this is funny, y'all, because I'm going to take, like, a funny approach with this one. Because when Rob told me he's going to talk about bios, I just had the weirdest itch to go on Twitter and look at people's bios, okay? Because y'all know I love to laugh, right? It's not like, so when people start following me, the first thing I do is look at their bios, right? Yep. And I, don't judge me, but I judge them. I'll be like...
Don't judge me, but I'm just saying I'm being judgmental.
But I'm judgmental.
You want to know who you're letting in, like if they friend request
like, are you
going to
influence me in the right way or the bad way?
I totally understand that.
I look at their bio and I'm like, what in the world is happening here, right? Yeah. So I looked at people's bios, and these are just like some cool ones. Yeah, random ones, right? These are people that I don't follow. They don't follow me. We don't know each other. So I'm sorry if that's you, okay? So here's one. That's an okay one. You know, sinner saved by grace, not perfect, just trying to make the world a better place, yada, yada, yada. That's basic, right?
That's basic,
but it's cool. It's cool. This one, coffee, family, Jesus. Not in that order, though. That's in the bio. That's in the bio. But I got to be honest.
It could be somebody's.
That could be me. That could be me. You know what I mean? But this one is really interesting. Coffee lover, Jesus follower. I love good coffee, good conversations, and good books, C.S. Lewis, Irish whiskey, and looking out for heresy. I'm like, what? There are so many what's here. What is this? What is happening here?
So you don't think whiskey and Jesus should be in the same?
No, I mean, that's mixed messages to me. It's either Jesus or whiskey. Pick one. I don't know.
You cannot have both.
I'm sorry. And this one's my favorite. My name is John whatever. I'm a youth pastor, husband to a smoking hot Jane, and a drummer. What in the world is happening?
Your wife smoking hot?
Yeah, you're calling your wife a smoking hot whatever, and then you're a drummer and a youth pastor. I'm very confused.
I only say that to you.
I'm very confused.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I don't feel the term smoking hot
is appropriate outside of personal, there's inside talk, outside of bedroom talk, pillow talk. I get you.
I'm smoking hot.
He's a youth pastor. I'm not sending my kids there. Well, but anyway,
it is interesting though, Remy. What you just said is actually very powerful, because I think at some level, and I'll definitely let you go back to that. But just as a pastor, let me throw this out, because what you just said is powerful. You answer as a mom.
Yes.
And so what ends up happening sometimes is we're trying to be so culturally relevant, especially within, maybe when we're trying to work with certain generations, that we stop being spiritually significant.
Yeah.
And the message that we think we're sending, we're really not sending.
Yeah. Wow.
And so as a mom, like we tell our people who work with youth and kids all the time, you are not just there to pastor the kids or the youth. You're there to pastor parents as well.
Right.
So the message that you present needs to be a message to be able to pastor a youth and to be able to pastor the parent in that moment.
Totally.
In that, I hope somewhere along the way someone recognizes that in their zeal to communicate to youth that they actually ostracized a parent who's making the decision whether their kid can go to youth or not.
Like, I'm serious about this, you guys. Like, your bio is your personal resume that is sitting out at all times in front of people to look at and judge you by that. Like, and I'm not,
I mean, right or wrong,
I'm checking my bio right now, by the way.
But seriously, you know what,
people are pulling over on the side of the road checking the bio right now.
I'm about to look up yours because you can't go so off on these bios and not have a
screen. Go ahead, check me right now. So check me.
All right.
Because honestly, your bio is so important. It speaks volumes. It's telling people, here, this is the very first thing you're going to learn about me. I am this, 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 and that. And if I'm talking about you, I'm talking about Jesus, and in the same sentence, I'm talking about whiskey, there's something wrong with that. You know, or my smoking hot husband. What is up with that?
Yeah, like, you know what?
You cannot put that out there.
I don't quite hear it as often as I'd like to hear that. So,
I'm just being honest.
You know, I'm just letting you know.
But that's I'm not going to say it on air, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, if you felt the need to exclaim that, I'm certainly.
But what if
all
somebody knows
it?
Your husband, he isn't smoking hot? That's a problem right there.
Come on,
you know
now.
What I mean?
Okay,
but seriously,
so here,
you have got to clean out your bios. You have got to take a look at what people are looking at, because when they see that, they see the Christ in you. They see what's happening in your life. And I'm not saying you have to present everything to be perfect, but I'm just saying put your best foot forward and just look presentable. And if I'm following Christ, I want people to see that in me and in my personal life and in my bios and in my, you know, everyday life. I'm not going to look, you guys, I wish you can see what I'm seeing right now. Everybody's on their phone fixing their bios.
I pulled up your Facebook, your verified Facebook fan page at Remy Mahdi.
Okay.
And you're about says Christian, mother, wife, reality TV personality, actor. Great cook, so you threw yourself a
compliment.
That's
true, by the way.
Makeup lover, co-host of Faith on the Field radio show.
Yeah.
So some people, just to play devil's advocate here, some people will look at that and go, Christian and reality TV personality in the same bio, kind of the way you looked at Christian and whiskey in the same bio. And
if you drink whiskey, that's fine. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm not condemning. Go ahead, drink that whiskey, but just don't tell me about it.
And then had they seen you and not seen you on TV and saw
to
the role you portrayed.
To this day, I can pull up stuff from like 2 days ago where people send me messages saying, I am so glad that you and Rob are doing well and that you know Christ now. Because on TV, you did not look that way and you came a long way. And all I can say is thank you, God bless you, goodbye. Because I cannot prove anything to anybody. But what I'm saying is my walk now is very different than my walk then. So I can't really prove that to you. But what I'm saying is...
But what also people don't know is that we knew Christ then. It wasn't portrayed on television
because
it was
Christ
edited
then.
Out.
Because of course, are you trying to tell me that reality TV is not real?
Yeah. So
my whole life's shattered now. I got to go home. I don't know what to do now.
That right there is true because I can't educate everybody. I can just tell you, you know what? If you spend that much time like watching TV, God bless you, whatever, like have fun with that. But it's different. It's different.
I get your point. And I wanted... Kyle, I want you to touch on what you mentioned a little bit ago before the show.
Yep. Yeah, that was good.
With John F. Kennedy and the Kennedy dads, because you're talking about bios here, and we're talking about our personal resume. And as I said in the beginning of the show, you know, anybody could just lay words out there. You could lay words out there like Christian, devoted. To the Lord and missionary.
Of course you can look great, but you're not that. I understand
whatever.
That. Yes.
And the point of what we're talking about today is, one, it shouldn't be a secret if you're a Christian, but two, we have to walk our talk.
That's exactly my point. Yeah, it's here you go. Thank you very much. That's exactly there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I love history, obviously I love our American history, and so I've studied a lot on the Kennedys as well, and Joe Kennedy, who is obviously JFK and Robert Kennedy, JFK's father, and the head of the Klan, he had a statement that he really raised his sons under, and it said, "What you are is not as important as what you appear to be. Mm. What you are is not as important as what you appear to be." Mm. And I was like, "That is such horrible advice to a man, but I can see it in their lives. Like, so when you actually understand, you know, what who JFK was mm-hmm. so amazing. You know, this Camelot that they created, and Jackie O and the persona and the outfits and all that, which is, by the way, there's nothing wrong with all that. I think that there's something very, very good about being someone who wants to set a high standard of excellence in everything that they do.
Right.
But you can also see then where it gave such leeway to the soul and the individual person to not ever have to be live in character, in integrity, to that level, because it doesn't really matter what I do behind the scenes. It only matters what people see. And character really is what we do when no one else is looking.
Yeah.
And so you see these massive moral failures all throughout
all of their lives.
All of that. Right? And really that whole concept, you know, Joe got his money by running. You would talk about liquor. He was a bootlegger, right? But you know, when you look at him historically, you look at this the patriarch of this amazing, you know, American royalty,
iconic family, right?
Iconic family. That's what you see. But that's where I think we really have to wrestle. On the flip side of that, A.W. Tozier, who obviously is a phenomenal writer, great pastor of the 20th century, he said this. That the humble man's motto is in himself nothing, in God everything. The humble man's motto is in himself nothing, in God everything. And you kind of see those two things as the opposite sides of the spectrum, isn't it? One is really saying it doesn't matter who you are as long as you look to be something different. And the other one saying, no, who you are is at the essence of it all because who you are should only reflect who he is.
I've said this oftentimes. I love that, what you were saying there, Kyle. And it oftentimes when I go up and speak somewhere, they'll read my bio, right? They'll read my bio.
Yeah.
And they will run down the list of all the things that are supposed to impress the audience.
Impress the audience.
Otherwise the audience is going to be like, well, why is this guy coming up here to speak? So they'll run down the list of everything that I do. Talk show host, author, radio personality, TV, this, and this. And the first thing I like to do when I get up there, especially when it's a younger audience, is say, who I am is far more important than everything you just heard.
Absolutely.
Who I am.
Absolutely.
Not what I do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not what I do for a living. Not how I make my paycheck. So you heard all these things, and that's going to give me the credibility to be standing here in front of you. And you're going to go on and want to achieve different things that gives you credibility and puts money in your pocket and allows you to feed your family and have a home and cars and travel and whatever you aim to accomplish. But really, all of that doesn't matter. It's about who you are inside.
Absolutely.
It's who you are as a person. And it, going back to the Kennedy father's quote about the perception of what people think of you, God really knows our heart.
Correct.
So you could pretend to be whatever you want to pretend to be and get all of the fame and adulation of the crowd and of people, but really be a sorry, miserable human being who treats women terribly or whatever it is that you're doing. And God knows that.
Well, we're seeing that all throughout our culture today, right? Where, in particularly right now, men who we used to think were huge successes in certain arenas are being, you know, exposed for their lack of what we're talking about, credibility here. Yeah. And I think we have to understand that everyone struggles, I think, with three areas. You know, we all have a persona. It's what we want people to think about us.
Right.
It's what we want people to think about us. We have an ego. It's what we actually think about ourselves. And then for those of us who know Jesus, we have an identity. Mm-hmm. And our identity is what Jesus says we are.
Yeah.
Those three things are very different. And whatever you put kind of the weight in, you're actually, whatever you value the most, you'll put your most time, energy, and priority towards.
Yeah.
So if you really believe that your persona, what people think about you, is important.
Yeah.
Because, Rob, I don't want people to go out there and think it's not important what people think about us.
No, it's very important.
It doesn't hold in priority. That's not the weight of it all. You know, what they should think about, what we should hope they think about us is what they see of Jesus in us. And that's what we wrestle with.
You have had this issue, Remy, so often in your life, and it's kind of become part of sort of your mission with women, especially the younger women, in that people will see you, you're always aiming to look your best, and I think personally you do a great job of it. But you have this diva type of image, right? And sometimes that can get lost in translation of being what you. I believe it's not in your bio, and I thought it was, but I see it when you email me, right? It says Christ Ambassador, right? So it might be on your Instagram.
Yeah.
So you have tried to impress upon women, especially, that, it's okay to spend time on yourself and look beautiful from the outside. There is nothing wrong with that, because some people will say, well, why don't you just like look basic, look plain, do this, do whatever. And you've said like, oh, it's important to do that, but you always focus on first and foremost the inside and working on the inside and that relationship with Christ.
I honestly feel if you look your best, you will do your best. And if you take some time to invest in your own self, in your own image, you will feel great even on the inside. Even if your inside is still a work in progress, which all of us are, we're work in progress. Yep. But if you take some time to look your best from the outside, that will really lift your spirit up. And I mean... I can't say enough about makeup and hair and outfits. I just can't.
You love it.
It's definitely something I love so much. And I love looking great. I love doing my hair. I love doing my makeup. I love putting my accessories on and my shoes. My shoe game has to be strong at all times. But like, I have a husband that supports my addiction. Amen. It's just amazing.
Oh,
amen to that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. But you have to really look your best to do your best at all times. And if you have Jesus in your heart, and you have that light, I feel that your beauty on the inside also shines, and you want to look your best even on the outside. You're like, whoa, I'm glowing from the inside and on the outside. I love that. And I feel women, a lot of women don't understand that concept, that they feel like, no, why would I put all that work in? That's a lot of work. That's this. It's work on yourself. You have to work on yourself. You have to work on the inside and the outside. You cannot look like a hot mess, you know, and tell me that you're like glowing on the inside.
It doesn't need to be either or, right? It's
a complete circle.
Correct.
And you have to be the whole package. And if you're going to visit the president, for example, if you're going to see someone very important in your life, going on your first date, are you going to look like a hot mess? No, you're not. You're going to look
not.
Your best.
I would hope not.
I would hope you're not
looking
basic.
You might not get a second one. Yeah,
I would hope you look your best, absolute best. You're going to pick your best outfit, pick whatever. So look that good every single day, because that's your personal resume walking around.
It's interesting, though, that what you just said, Remy, look your best. And I just want to, because I think that's so important that we become comfortable with who we are.
Yeah.
Because Danielle was just watching one of the YouTubers that she loves to watch. And this staggered me. This particular woman was talking about how disappointed she was in a very famous brand, which we obviously won't talk about. She was talking about how when she first started buying this 2 years ago, pants there, she was a size 2.
Yeah.
The next year she was a size 4, and the next year she was a size 6. Mm. She's not changed any weight.
Wow.
She literally took those pants and measured everything, the waist, measured the length. All three pairs are all the same.
No.
So what was a 2 is now a 6. So the question is why?
Oh my gosh.
So the question is why?
I'm shocked.
But because it begins to change the way we're allowing other outside forces. Because Remy, if I said to you as a woman, man, 2 years ago you were a 2, but now you're a 6.
Let me tell you.
Do you see what I'm saying? Right?
Let me tell you what. Looking at Instagram and looking at social media nowadays, I don't understand what's happening, but everybody look like a plastic doll. Everybody. All women out there looking like plastic dolls. Filthy. Same mouth, same nose, same cheekbones, same hair, same waist, same everything. What is happening? You know, we have to have our own identity. We have to have our own looks. We can't just all look the same. Be your own self and be proud of it.
Amen to that. By the way, one thing on the jeans. I'm a big fan of Buffalo because they run small or whatever. I'm a smaller size in them.
Yes,
so, I'm going to throw their name out in case they want to do an endorsement for Rob Motti, Faith on the Field, Rob Motti Show, whatever you want to do. You know, I love your jeans. They're comfortable. They look great. And I'm a smaller size. Up next on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University, we're going to hear from Philadelphia Phillies outfielder Adam Haseley. Hi, this is Rob Motti. And as you all know, I'm a steak guy. Restelli's is the meat and seafood supplier for some of my favorite restaurants, including Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, where I will host my football show every Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. So when I found out that Restelli's.com offers direct-to-consumer delivery, I was in. I got my first order last week, and it was terrific. Wet-aged black Angus ribeyes, fillets, and sirloins were delivered right to my door, frozen with dry ice in an insulated tote. This is unlike any other program out there because the Restelli family is local. Ray Restelli has been America's butcher for over 40 years. Restelli Foods is an industry leader supplying the finest hotels and restaurants with the highest quality foods, and the Restelli family has complete ownership of the production process, hand trimming, processing, and packaging in their local state-of-the-art South Jersey facility. Get the highest quality meats and seafood from this family-owned company right to your door. Visit Restelli's.com today. Use code FOTF for $15 off your first order.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Kyle Horner, and Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every previous show and listen anytime at your convenience. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list. Get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox. And now we are available on all formats, not just iTunes. We're on Stitcher and everything else where you can hear and download and subscribe and all that awesome stuff. Make sure to also follow us on our personal at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, at Kyle J. Horner. I'll also let you know where I'm going to be doing various speaking appearances coming very soon, the day after Labor Day, the Rob Motti Show.
Yes!
Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey. It is an awesome restaurant. Phenomenal.
Yo, the tacos are to die for.
So good.
The chicken tacos. I love them. Great spot to hang out, have a beverage, whiskey, right? Remy's favorite from previous segment.
What are you doing?
Watch a game, whatever it is. I'll be there every Tuesday night, 6 to 8, starting September 3rd. We're going to talk sports, do trivia, giveaways, prizes. It's going to be a ton of fun, so come on out. October 10th, I'm hosting an event for the Parksburg Point featuring Tim Tebow. It'll be at the Octorara High School in an auditorium at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at thepoint_timtebow.eventbrite.com. Everyone who has reached out to me, I will get back to you with more information. I know a lot of people reaching out to me about this event. I promise I'll get back to you. My inbox is flooded right now. I promise I do get back to everyone. Tickets are limited and you can get them at the door. Our guest, Adam Haseley, was selected by the Philadelphia Phillies first round of the 2017 amateur draft. He was the 8th overall pick out of the University of Virginia. And just 2 years later, he already is in the major leagues, made his major league debut, now is the starting center fielder as the Phillies try to make a push for the National League's second wild card spot. I spoke to Adam recently, and here is that interview. Adam, on your Twitter bio, the first thing it says is saved by grace. It took me a while to realize that because I grew up thinking you had to be saved by your works and you earn your way to heaven and then eventually you gain salvation. At what point in your life did you come to that realization? Because it's kind of life-changing. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For we are saved by grace, not by works." When did you reach that point and what does it mean to you?
I grew up the same way. I was in a Christian home, went to a Christian school from third grade all the way up through high school. And that's how I viewed it for a long time. I viewed that, you know, if I did something wrong off the field, then on the field, you know, I felt like I wasn't going to, you know, be blessed, so to say, or perform well. And it wasn't until, you know, I was actually a junior in college and got plugged into Athletes in Action at UVA. And, you know, a dear friend of mine named Connor Hughes kind of shared that with me, that, you know, there's not anything that we can do to earn that salvation. It's a free gift by grace. So I think that's a great thing to put in you know, a public bio, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is. So, you know, people that have heard about that before can kind of see that and say, you know what, okay, that's, you know, we are saved by grace and it's not by works.
Now, not only that, you walk up to the plate and you walk up to the plate to a Christian song by Crowder called Red Letter. Aaron Nola has a song by Newsboys. JT's got a Christian song. At what point did you decide to make a Christian song your walk-up song? Did this start before you got to the majors or sometime before that? And what's the significance of that song to you?
Yeah, you know, it started all the way back in high school, honestly. You know, that's always been, you know, something that I want people, the first thing to know about me. You know, when I come into a game, whether, you know, it's here in the stadium or Lehigh, Reading, wherever it may be, you know, I want that to be remembered, you know, about why I'm playing, who I am.
Is there any special part in that song, any significant lyric that just stands out to you that you hear, like, gets you going, it pumps you up? Like, sometimes, you know, you want to hear a song, you want it to fire you up, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not like other guys' songs where it kind of gets the whole stadium rocking, but internally it kind of reminds me of, you know, why I'm doing it, what I'm doing it for, who I'm doing it for. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of puts me in tune and relaxes me a little bit. But regarding the lyrics, the whole song, you know, it's just about, you know, what we should have deserved, you know, that wrath that, you know, as sinners that we deserve. So the whole song is about grace, and, you know, that's what I want to hear before I go up to the plate.
Now, in college, you earned this nickname, the Rev. What was that like? You know, it's difficult. It's different sometimes when you're a bold Christian or you proclaim your faith in this world. It could be sometimes you're looked upon as a different kind of guy. What was that like? How did it come about?
Yeah, I loved it. Everyone on the team had a nickname. And mine was the Reverend or Rev, or some guys call me Father. it's just all in good fun, you know, that they know that's, you know, something important to me. And that was named my nickname from the first couple of days, and it kind of stuck for 3 years.
Now, coming up as a young guy, former first round pick, and you're trying to fit into first you're trying to fit into a team in the major leagues. You got a team that's in the playoff race, in contention, trying to fit into the clubhouse culture. How much do you rely on your faith to make sure that you stay who you are? And sometimes, you know, there might be a lot of outside influences. What does your faith do for you to keep you in the moment, focused, grounded?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't changed from high school to now. You know, whenever I'm playing, that's just something I always rely on. Whatever happens on the field, the results, anything like that, it's, you know, it all comes back to his plan and his purpose. And I feel like I'm called to play baseball. I feel like that's, you know, the reason why I'm here, and that's my form of ministry. So I just always rely on that.
Adam, thank you, man. Appreciate your time.
That was Philadelphia Phillies rookie outfielder Adam Haseley. As I said earlier, a very impressive young man. He's only 23 years old. Adam said it wasn't until college when a close friend shared with him that biblical truth that we are saved by grace. And I mentioned in the interview, and I've often stated how I didn't come to that realization for many, many, many years while I was stuck in religion and I was thinking that I had to earn my way to heaven. It's such a powerful revelation, really, when you truly, truly understand what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I want to say this because a lot of people reach out to me, whether it's on social media or sometimes in person at some of the various events that I'm at or speaking. This past weekend, there was the Fanatic 97.5, the Fanatic Fan Fest, and saw a lot of people there, was giving out My Story, His Glory t-shirts.
Yeah, I
threw one into
Absolutely.
The audience. And it's a lot of times people tell me they appreciate who I am, who I represent, what I'm all about. And oftentimes it's fellow believers. But also I hear this appreciation a lot, even from those who don't necessarily share the same beliefs. One guy recently said to me, I'm not a religious person, but I really respect and admire you for sharing your faith.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I don't always have the time to stop and have this conversation. But what I always want to say, like when they say this to me, I always say, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But what I really want to say, if I have the time to have that conversation, is that I'm not a religious person either.
Right.
Like, really, right. I am not a Correct. Religious person either. The term right. religion,
right.
like, religion left me empty. It left me broken. It left me unfulfilled. Right. But Jesus, see, Jesus saved me from the pit. He saved me from the rules. Jesus saved me from those rituals. Jesus saved right. me from those traditions of religion and that cycle of my repetitive sin. So it is through my relationship with Christ that I am here now, that I am there in that moment when you see me out or you reach out to me on social media and you say, I admire who you are and what you represent, but I'm not a religious person. I ain't a religious person either.
Right.
I'm not a religious person either. It's Jesus who helped me find true peace, joy, and happiness. So I just want to encourage everyone out there who's hung up on religion and all the different man-made rules that come with it. Please focus on Jesus, Jesus Christ. Focus on getting to know who Christ is and how he is the answer to everything that you will ever need.
Yeah, you know, look, religion says do, do, do. Christianity says it is done. Mm-hmm. And that really is the crux of the matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the tension that lives in that, though, Rob, is this concept that, you know, we talked about it this past week, you know, our sacrifice, mm-hmm. no matter what we do, can never produce righteousness yeah. in our life.
Right.
But when we've been changed by Jesus, when we have right, when we, yeah. when we come into right standing with God, it should produce a sacrificial life. So those two things, that's the tension that we live in. It's not I find Christ and now I can just kind of it's just me and Jesus and do whatever I want to do. It's me and Jesus so that I can do what I could never do without him, mm-hmm. which is actually to live a righteous life, a holy life. And that's why people get religion messed up, because yeah. religious people do holy looking things.
Yeah.
But it goes back to that perception we talked about all day.
But it's to produce something that cannot be produced, which right. is right standing with God. Whereas when I have right standing with God, I want to live that out in my life. So that produces now holy, religious-looking works as well. And that's where those two, that's why people come up to you and go, I'm so glad you're religious. And you know, kind of our first buck reaction is, I'm not religious, right? Because we're trying to yeah. redefine that
and,
word.
And it's never the moment to have
right,
that conversation.
Not, exactly. And it's not meant, you know, because yeah. It can come across to the wrong place.
Right.
It really is. No. I am. I appreciate that you see that what I'm doing mm-hmm. looks like religious things that should be done, but it's from a much different place.
I was reading the book. I was reading a book the other day, and in the book he was saying, he was going back to Genesis, right? And he was saying that God created the earth, right, in 6 days, and created Adam on a sixth day. And on the seventh day, he didn't say, Adam, hey, go on the seventh day and work. He just said, go rest.
Yes.
So rest on the seventh day. The whole concept of resting in Jesus is what we miss every single day. He's not asking you to do work, work, work. He's asking you to rest in him because the work is done. Just rest in Jesus and just know who he is, what he's done for you. Everything has already been created. Everything's already been done for you. All you have to do is rest in him. Know who you are in him and just embrace that. And live like that. Live from that comfort. That there is no strifing. There is no rules that you have to just like do. It's not about doing. It's about just resting in him. And
in
when
that
you
grace.
Rest, and you rest in that grace. Whew, it's beautiful.
Jay Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said, "True faith is not striving or struggling to be in Christ. It's to abiding in Christ.
Abiding
so
Christ.
How do we abide?
Yeah.
And Remy, I love what you just said, because the seventh day." Where humanity really started was in this place of rest.
Yes.
Work then came out of the place of rest, right? So day eight, there was work.
Man, I wish NFL football was not Sundays.
He had to tend the garden, right?
Yeah. It's tend to the garden.
He didn't work first and then rest. Yeah. He rested in Christ and then worked. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So he's working from a different place.
It's not by himself. It doesn't marginalize the work. There is work. We work out our salvation.
Yeah.
But we work out our salvation. We don't work
for our salvation.
Speaking of, and I want to say this right before we go, I love what you have, I've seen you do this several times, Pastor Ka, at the Connect Church, in case you're wondering, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, also in Randolph and in Philadelphia, there's a campus. When you walk, when you, it's a visual. You have to be there. You have to hear Pastor Kyle preach, and then he'll say, it's not the work that you've done. And you'll turn around and walk and right up to that cross and say, it's the work that he did for us.
Yeah.
And I love that. Adam Haseley knows that, understands that, recognizes that. And I appreciate him sharing that on letting everyone know who, what he is, what he stands for. He said that to him, baseball is his form of ministry. So when he says saved by grace on his social media platforms, that's letting everyone know about this grace, this relationship with Jesus Christ. And one last thing, I want to just, when Jesus says to us in Matthew, like, this is so powerful, right? We're talking today about it shouldn't be a secret if you're a Christian. Yes. Let the world know, shout it from the mountaintops. When Jesus says, deny me before man, and I will deny you before my Father. If we can think about the power behind those words the next time we're afraid to share our faith with someone, we're afraid to tell somebody, yeah, you know what? I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. This is who I stand for. This is what I stand for. Think about that. Jesus said, deny me before man, and I will deny you before my Father. Up next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University, we have three special guests in studio.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner and Remy. We have three special guests joining us for our Faith in the Field segment this week. Dwight Zimmerman from Diefenbach's Potato Chips, Bill Myers from Viva Kids, and our good friend from Positively Different, 107.5 Alive, John Yost, is here, but not on the microphone. Welcome, gentlemen.
Great. Thanks for having us. Glad to be here.
Guys, yes, certainly. It's really cool to have you here and to take a look at all these potato chips. As we're trying to stay away from carbs and everything else.
No.
So, Dwight is the VP of Sales and Marketing at Diefenbach's Potato Chips. He's also a deacon at Grace Reformed Church and advisor to Jubilee Ministries, which is a ministry committed to rebuilding, restoring, and renewing lives. And Bill is the executive director, along with his wife Marcia, of Viva Kids. That is a nonprofit organization committed to raising awareness that leads to action for kids in need, both locally and abroad. So we want to hear all about that. But first, Dwight, tell us about this potato chip.
Yes, it's called the Ugly's brand. And a little bit behind the name is we're getting these potatoes that have slight imperfections, and we're upcycling them and creating a premium kettle chip.
Oh.
But so there's two sides of it. So we're reducing waste. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, Bill here with Viva Kids, we are giving back through Viva Kids. So the goal of the brand is to reduce waste and also to fight hunger.
So the brand is called Uglies, and when did that name come? Like, how did that name come about?
Yes,
it's a pretty cool name. Yeah. Marketing genius.
Yeah. It's a new brand. It's only been in the marketplace for just for a few years. And it started, I was, you know, reading a magazine, and they were talking about food waste. And I thought, well, we do, you know, we make potato chips and work with potatoes. Hey, let's do something. So I brought it back in, looked at it with the team, and one thing led to the next. And, you know, here we are today. So.
Wow. Well, that's so beautiful, because it's the story of it's really God's story in our life, right? He takes something that is marred and ugly and something that would be discarded, and he upcycles us to something that's beautiful and tasty and that really kind of feeds people. And I love it. I love you're killing me right now, because you're literally you're sitting here with like three or four of my favorite like flavors, like buffalo ranch, come on, jalapeno, salt and vinegar. It's killing me.
And I haven't had carbs in 7 days.
I don't know how you're doing.
I'm struggling as it is.
No
my eyes are
no carbs.
I think that you deserve a ton of credit for what you guys are doing here, and the name and everything is awesome. I want to mention before we continue an event that you have, and it's a big event, and it's the Mulligans and Shinsplints fundraiser presented by Diefenbach's Uglies Kettle Chips. It's held the weekend after Labor Day each year. Labor Day is upon us. It's coming up real
soon. Can't
believe it. It is this weekend. It was created to help the CIMIV school. Is that right?
Correct.
CIMIV school, which helps kids in an impoverished village in the Dominican Republic break the cycle of poverty. You're going to love this, Kyle. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Come on, somebody.
How about that? And this event, it consists of a unique 5K and 10K race. It's held at Diefenbach's new plant in Bethel, Pennsylvania. It will be Saturday morning, September 7th. You can run competitively in a 5 and 10K, or you could simply enjoy a walk along the one-mile family fun run. If I were to go, I'd be the guy walking and strolling. And I'm not there running. There will also be free smoothies. Gotta love that. Inflatables and a prize for every runner and walker. On Saturday night, the fun will continue with a free concert at the Herbert Family Farm in Lebanon, PA, highlighted by the CEFC worship team and the band Humily.
I love that.
Very cool. On Sunday, there will also be a scramble golf tournament at Heidelberg Country Club in Burnville, where, again, there's a prize for every participant and for the winners of the round and skills. Finally, that evening, they will cap the weekend with a celebration dinner at Heidelberg Country Club filled with great food, prizes, and conversation. So you can get involved in this and help make a difference in the lives of children. Go to vivakids.org/MANDS for more information or to register. So that is coming up. I want to hear all about that event. But first off, Bill, tell us how you and your wife got involved with everything that you're doing in Dominican with Viva Kids.
You know, it started with a mission trip, a short-term mission trip. We were invited by some friends to go to see what they had experienced. They'd been down there. Their lives were changed. You know, they got a heart for this place, and they wanted to go back with some friends. They asked us, and I'll keep this story as brief as I can, but my first reaction was no way. So far, I'm outside my comfort zone. Yeah. It's just not happening.
That you don't want to go?
That you want to go on a short-term mission trip to this place, and it was just, you know, wasn't me.
Right.
But the family that runs the school in the Dominican came up for a benefit auction, and my wife and I went to give the news. We weren't going, and we heard him speak, and we heard his heart.
Wow.
We both looked at each other and said, "We're going, aren't we?" And, and we went, and that was in 2006, the rest is history. We've gone down twice a year since then, and then got involved in Viva Kids about 3 years ago as a way to connect resources to a ministry that knows the people, knows the culture, knows the need and the work that needs to be done, but they don't have the funds. So we try to get people to go and see so that they will come back and stay and help.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, we tell our people all the time that poverty has a taste, it has a smell that you can't get on, you know, watching it on TV or reading it in a book or just looking at statistics. Because when you're there and you see real faces of real kids and real people who struggle, you know, 80% of our world lives on less than $10 a day. I mean, $10 a week. How is that possible when you start talking about that kind of thing? Yeah. You know, it's... So what you're doing is amazing, and we don't think of Dominican as necessarily being an underserved, underdeveloped country, because it is a tourist destination. Yeah. But you get off, just like so many of the Caribbean islands, you get off the resort areas, and it is vastly different. It's immense poverty.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, really. It's eye-opening. I had never experienced anything like it. I was familiar with poverty, and I had a feeling what it might look like around the world.
Yeah,
right. But I was just blown away.
You
just don't know.
Yeah.
Until you go.
We certainly have poverty in America, undoubtedly so, and it, unfortunately it's increasing at an alarming rate, especially for children. But when you step into developing world, it is at a whole different scale.
Sure.
And level. So thank you for doing what you're doing. Everything, all those things make a difference. Thank you for supporting them with, you know, Uglies. It's important that we do those things.
It is incredible what you guys are doing. And Dwight, how did you get how did you get Diefenbach's aligned with Viva Kids? I mean, you guys are giving 10% of all your profits to, their ministry to help them. How did that come about? Why did you choose this specific mission?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we developed the Uglies brand, we wanted to give back. to fight hunger. So, you know, we were looking around. There's a lot of good organizations out there. But there's so much more to breaking the cycle of hunger than, you know, just handing out
Absolutely.
A meal.
Yep. Yeah.
And So we passed on them all, and through a friend, was introduced to Bill, the ministry, and with Viva Kids, and we're like, this is a perfect match because it aligned with our faith and values, and that is very important to me. Also, our owner, Nevin Diefenbach. So it was, we just knew right away, this is where we needed to be. So we were delighted in partnering with Viva Kids. And our pledge is 10% of profits to Viva Kids. But our owner is like, no, we're giving more than that.
Wow.
So
that's fantastic.
So,
now, have you personally been to Dominican?
I have not yet.
Yet. Okay.
Oh, he will.
He will. So you're not scared about Bill, you told us before off air.
Absolutely.
You've been back since people mysteriously passed away on trips there. So that's you can assure us we're all good to go and you'll take care of.
Absolutely. You know, it was funny because you had the unfortunate event of that couple in Maryland and that hit the news. But once that hit the news, then it kind of brought things out of the woodwork. The statistics show the death rate of people vacationing in the Dominican is the same this year as it is every other year, and it's the same as anywhere in the world.
How about that?
It's just that it hit the news, so and it brought people, like I said, brought stories out of
it. Wait, you mean the news media is blowing things out of proportion?
I'm not making any accusations
Never.
Here.
It's outrageous.
I
believe that.
It's great. We were back. Everything's fine. Business as usual. It's worth going for sure.
All right, Dwight, we're going to hold you to that. I can't wait to see pictures of you in a Dominican.
I'm sure you will.
Holding up
a bag of uglies.
See, that's it. A bag of uglies needs to make a trip all the way around. See, every mission trip you go on, pictures of bags of ugly.
Yeah, we've had the teachers holding them up already.
Love that.
Where can
someone find Ugly's potato chips?
So we are gaining distribution throughout the United States. And right now, we are in this area here. We're in Whole Foods. When you get up closer to our plant, we're pretty much every store there in, around in Berks County, Leavenworth County, and central Pennsylvania there.
Beautiful. So,
But you have plans to expand, right, throughout the country?
We have, yes. Significant. It's been growing. People, they see it. They get it. And also, the whole food waste is in the spotlight right now. And it's just a creative way to address that part of it, as well as the giving back with Fighting Hunger.
Yeah.
Well, fellas, once again, I want to thank you for being here. The event is
September 7th.
September 7th. Is there anything else that I didn't cover about that event that you want to let people know about?
No, as far as the event goes, come on up. We'd love to expose you to this ministry and what's happening down there. I do want to just briefly thank Dwight here and the Diefenbach Company for coming alongside us, because the one thing it allows us to do is run a child sponsorship program where all the money goes to the centers, because we have a business helping the business side of the ministry. So thank you for that. And we'd love to see everybody come on up and join us next weekend.
Outstanding. Everybody, if you want to get that information, again, it is at vivakids.org/MANDS. Thank you guys for being here. I want to thank all our listeners and followers. Thanks to our guests today, Phillies outfielder Adam Haseley, Dwight Zimmerman, Bill Myers. Big thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, our podcast, our blog, everything he does for us. Jim Henderson, thank you for your work behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, The King's Christian School, Center Square Tavern, and our two newest sponsors, California Closets and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and John Yost. And thank you to Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti. Come on, you make a difference. Be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.